a slight digression here.
That's fine. You can have digressions.
In my cradle Catholics have to confirm what you said about the Catholic Church down in Caracas. The cathedral in the main plaza in Buenos Aires, when Mary and I were down there fairly recently, had in spray-painted red letters across the main column of the cathedral in front, La Iglesia ilumina solo cuando está en llamas. The church illuminates or enlightens only when it's in flames.
That's a great one. I might add that I had a lot of Catholic friends in Venezuela who were totally devoted to the revolution and totally alienated from the church, but they still consider themselves Catholics. They still talk from time to time about their religious inspiration being part of the revolution. Particularly in our area, a lot of the rural teachers had been progressive Catholics who'd been affected by liberation theology and other things that had spread around Venezuela. Of course, it's just that now it's very hard to find young priests that have been trained in that tradition. You know, the church has done such a good job of pushing people out. Yeah, the Pope worked long before he became Pope at doing that. Yeah.
I forgot to mention that the books, The Revolutionary Doctrine, is for sale. So we have a few books that any one of you can buy for a price that I believe that is around $20. What else I wanted to say?
And if somebody doesn't have $20 but has 10 or 15, uh-huh, just put that in and take a book.
Yes. We also have some documentaries about ELAM in Venezuela, which is a very nice project that started a few years ago in Venezuela. So we received this documentary, so any one of you can take it for free. It's a very nice documentary about how we have been trying to replicate the Cuban ELAM experience in Venezuela, and it's something that is actually running right now. Seems, I don't know, for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. The other one there is about Cuban doctors working overseas. There's two.
This one?
There's another Cuban.
There are two.
Mount City.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's not the easiest thing. First of all, and they've realized this in Cuba, they have to study for the medical boards in a particular state that they're going to go to, and that can be a tough exam. So they've added that on in the final year in Cuba, some of the basics of those medical boards, because they'll have to pass those tests. And then finding the residencies is difficult, and there are groups of physicians and progressive medical professors in this country that are organizing to try to make that happen more easily and contact people and say, you know, this training they have in family medicine in particular is really good, and most people want to do that as their first specialty, family medicine or community medicine. And so those are opening up, but it's not necessarily easily, particularly depending on what state they come from. Each student who goes to ELAM, and this includes all the other Latin Americans, pledges to go back to a part of their country that doesn't have, that's a poor community, doesn't have sufficient medical professionals. And Cuba, of course, has no way to enforce that, but that's the expectations. So last night when I spoke at the School of Public Health at UIC, there was a young woman, Lillian Holloway, who graduated from ELAM and is doing her medical residency. I forget at which hospital, maybe somebody knows here. Rush. Might be at Rush. In a family medicine program there. So the places can be found, but I think it hasn't always been easy. I don't know numbers about how many have completed, for instance.
A friend of ours from Serbia who got his medical education there has come to Chicago and has passed all of the examinations. He's now in the matching process, but none of Chicago's main hospitals will take any foreign graduate.
He also told us that the U.S. is cutting down on the number of foreign educated people they are going to accept in the future.
In the U.S.?
Yes, that they're going to accept for residency here.
I don't... I don't know about that exactly, because in family medicine in particular, there are very few graduates from U.S. schools going into the field. It's dropped from about 11% to 4% over a short period of time, maybe 10 or 15 years. So I think around 40-45% of the family medicine residencies are being filled by U.S. students who study here. So the other students are coming from other countries. And I don't see any bright signs of more medical education in this country. And of course, students are coming out with these huge loans. And I mean, they may be greedy and want the highest paying profession just for monetary reasons of being more well-to-do, but also a lot are worried about paying off those loans, and is family practices are being bought up by the corporate world now. Does that mean those salaries will be pushed down a little lower? So there's a lot of anxiety there about whether. But I hadn't heard about cutting out foreigners practicing medicine, because there are a lot of foreign doctors coming still.
The first year residency, it's a nationwide program of $40,000 for all first year residents, no matter what.
Okay.
Steve, I think it's important. Sorry, I think it's important. You mentioned yesterday the number of graduates here from medical school versus the number of graduates in Venezuela and Cuba. I think you made a correlation there. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I put a rough figure in the book. In fact, of probably 2010, looking back over several years of how many medical students are enrolled at any one time in U.S. medical schools, it was about 68,000. And two little countries, Cuba and Venezuela, with, say, 40 million people versus 310 million in this country, and financial resources that are probably 1/40th of the United States, are educating more doctors. 25 to 30,000 in Venezuela, 28,000 Cubans are going to medical school in Cuba at any one time, and 20,000 foreign students are being educated in Cuba. So that adds up to more than 70,000 by these two small countries, just showing what can be done if there's not too much worry about limiting the number of doctors so that a medical guild, which the AMA sort of is in this country, can guarantee high-priced professions for its members. I mean, there is that aspect of medical care, which my father, who was a physician, was always bothered by. I mean, he was a member of the American College of Physicians, and he was a specialist, but he was also a socialist because he grew up in Milwaukee when it had socialist congressmen and mayors. So he was bothered by that aspect of the AMA, but also about the fact, obviously, that people couldn't get free medical care wasn't available to all in this country. But anyway, you had something to say? Yeah.
As a comparison, after the Cuban Revolution, in order to deprive the country, Cuba, from its doctor, the United States universities and all the hospitals, they accepted Cuban doctors. Anybody doctor coming from Cuba without any exam, everybody else who come in here had to pass some exam and enter to any residency or internship. However, the Cubans came in without any exam, and they put them in the best jobs in order to choke the Cubans and deprive them from their own doctors. So now these things are the opposite. So that's what they did.
Yeah.
And then they say whenever you get a chance or you're at your own convenience, you pass this exam if you want. But they just came in and start working the best place that I know about.
Yeah.
So this is the difference.
Wait, you had something to add behind?
Yeah. Two things. First, a comment, and that is I've read Mr. Brower's book, and it is really well written. It's a very engaging book, so I highly recommend it. It's not dry at all. Just a crass plug. It's really a very good book.
Thank you.
secondly, in terms of Venezuela's role in medicine, I think it's extending certainly beyond its own borders, because if I'm not mistaken, quite a few people have gone to Venezuela for eye surgery, for example. Am I correct? And Venezuelan physicians are also assisting, you know, in the care for people of other Latin American nations.
They're joining the Cubans in Bolivia, for instance, where there are now at least more than 2,000 Cubans helping the Bolivians create something similar. It'll be different in Bolivia. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. But, and they've been going to Haiti and joining the Cubans there, who are a huge presence in Haiti and rebuilding a new medical system there, really. And Venezuela is putting in more monetary resources into that, and also engineers who are designing new buildings. And Brazil has joined Cuba and Venezuela in that project in Haiti, and wants to show that they are backing them. And once again, this kind of thing will not be found in the American press, in the major media. You know, you pretty impossible to have a positive story about Cuba and Venezuela. And so during the Haiti earthquake, and there's a cited in the book because some researchers have been following Cuban medicine for a long time, American researchers, showed how many articles there were about substantial attention given to the Cuban medical presence in Haiti after the earthquake, because it was much larger than anybody else. And they were writing lots of nice articles about Doctors Without Borders, who deserve praise and attention. But the Cuban presence was so much huger and much longer term. And now Venezuela is joining to push that along in Haiti and, as you said, other places around the world. So,
I think he was referring to the program that the Venezuelans have initiated regarding cataract surgery.
Oh, I meant to say that, yes.
People around the world, including the United States.
Misión Milagro, it's called, the Miracle Mission. And I actually, I traveled from Venezuela to Cuba on a flight. I'd gone to Venezuela on my second trip to do some more investigations, go to rural areas, and then a Cuban friend said, there's going to be this Encuentro Contra Terrorismo, this meeting that will discuss terrorism in the Western Hemisphere particularly, you know, from the Cuban and point of view of progressive forces that have been wiped out by various kinds of U.S.-sponsored terrorism or other kinds of terrorism over the years. And he said, so you should come. You should put off your research for 5 days and come to the conference. So I just arrived in Venezuela, and I was offered a flight to Cuba. And so I went on the flight with poor people who were going to Cuba for their eye surgery. But then, and a woman next to me had never been on a plane, and, you know, I explained how she used her food tray to eat and stuff. And she'd heard scary stories about Cuba. She thought she better save her food in case they weren't able to feed her when she got there. And but then that program moved to Venezuela, and Venezuelans were treated in Venezuela. Many Venezuelan doctors joined the program, and people were flown in from other countries in Latin America, or Venezuelans joined Cubans in going and flying to Bolivia and performing the operations there. So, yeah. Yes?
I have two questions that I'm a little unclear about.
Sure.
It's the Cuban medical education versus the American medical education. I'm particularly wondering how the admission process works, because, like, in the United States, it's extremely selective, extremely elite.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also wondering how the curriculum, like, is very different than the United States curriculum.
Well, in terms of covering the scientific basics, I think it's pretty much the same as it is in Venezuela. But there's a lot more emphasis on preventive care, holistic medicine, green medicine, which is what they call traditional herbal cures. And not that it's a huge part, but they want doctors to know that when they encounter people in rural areas, they should learn things from them about how they treat every, you know, sore throats and colds and other things that people have. So this process is selective in Cuba. I mean, you have to do well in school. But they decided some years back that maybe they were being too selective just on academic performance, and they wanted more proof, or just in discussions with the prospective students, that they did see the really strong social role they had of building up community health and community communication. And that, so I've been told that has made sure that as wide a possible range of students gets in. That's certainly true in Venezuela, where there is no exam for getting into this program I told you about. I guess what I didn't tell you is there is, it's not really a 6-year program, it's a 7-year program, because they have to do a pre-medical year. And some of these people just got out of high school. As you may know, in Latin America and many other parts of the world, you go directly for medical school, I mean from high school into a medical 6-year medical program often. You don't have undergraduate work. That's just the way it's done. But in that pre-medical year, it's tough, and it's tough studying to be done. You're studying the basic sciences that you should have to go start the medical program. And some students drop out because it's just too tough, or maybe they don't have quite the motivation. And that's a pretty good weeding out thing. But they are, those students, before they start the pre-medical year, are interviewed by people in the community. There are people in the community who know them, who kind of testify on their behalf. This is someone, you know, has a certain amount of dedication to the community, and we trust their motives, and, you know, they've been a good student, but they've also helped out in this and that. And all those things are taken into consideration, so it makes a difference. And some of those students at Elam that I showed pictures of, a couple of them told me, because they worked in university laboratories after their undergraduate years, that besides the money, one of the reasons they were turned off by going to medical school in the United States was they'd seen cutthroat behavior on some of the students who went through their labs and wouldn't share things with other students and were, I mean, this is not all students by any means, but there was enough of that that bothered them. You know, this seems to be too individualistic, and that's not the kind of atmosphere I want to be in when I study medicine. So in Cuba, what I didn't mention is at Elam, you have students from many different cultures. They're away from home for 6 years or more, and there's a really strong support network of there are guías or guides among the faculty and the personnel at the medical school who meet with students and just sound them out, you know, how are things going? You know, notice if somebody's getting depressed or disoriented, you know, and try to help them catch up, and it seems to work, you know, of kind of keeping them, giving them a social space they're comfortable with. Students are helped to find, if they are churchgoers of one kind or another, they're helped to find a church they can go to in Havana. Those kinds of things. Anyway, that's, yeah.
Did I hear you right that you said that Chavez is a former college professor?
The military university in Venezuela. He taught there, and that's where many of his friendships with the young officers that would benefit him in the long run were built out of that experience. You know, they had a lot of conversations about how the country should change, et cetera. And when he needed backing during the coup of 2002, when some of the really senior generals were ready to side with the opposition and get rid of him, you know, along with all the people from the barrios that came down into the middle of Caracas and said, we want our president back, all those hundreds of thousands of people, there were also officers throughout the army that said, wait a minute, we want Chavez back. You can't do this. So that was important. Yeah.
In terms of how the selection differs as well between the U.S. and Cuba or Venezuela for medical school,
But and the other point is, in Cuba and Venezuela, the medical education is free of charge.
Absolutely free of charge. Right. And in Venezuela, students, because many of them are living in poor villages or poor barrios, they get stipends in order to study. So they have some extra income to add to the family income. And usually they're getting a lot of support from the family, as I mentioned, especially the young mothers, but all of them, you know, say, you know, they're proud that their children are studying. But no, that free education is utterly important, as it is for the students coming to Elam from other countries.
Right, because that would be part of this selective. I know here, West City, have some money to begin with.
Right, right. Yes?
Don't misconstrue my question, because I've been exhilarated by almost everything you said, but I want to clarify something.
Okay.
You said that you went to eat at that community cocina?
Yes.
The community kitchen? Just once. Why'd you only go once? I mean, why?
Oh, because this was a very, this was not where I lived. This was on my first trip to, I was in Caracas for 2.5-3 weeks. I went to that conference where I met Chavez, and then I had 10 days to visit the barrios, and I had some very good guides who could take me to places that were happening. And this was just a particular day that I was going from one spot to another, and the women had finished serving the lunch, and they had some leftover food, and they said, sit down at this little table and have some lunch. You need some lunch. And so that's why I only went once. Because ordinarily, you know, they weren't trying to feed other people. They had the 150 people in the neighborhood. That was their job, to feed them. So that's why I only went once. Yeah.
So was it nice then?
The food was terrific. I mean, yeah, no, it was meat and rice and a nice sauce and fruit, fresh fruit. I was quite impressed. Yeah.
So there's no mistake about Northwestern and other schools here in Chicago. A Serbian doctor who had been refused residency at Northwestern, because they don't take any foreign new
doctors. I see. Okay.
She later, a few years later, became a doctor there because they have no objection. They don't. While they don't take foreigners as residents, they do have foreign doctors.
They have
later.
Places for them later.
She went to Ohio, I think, to do her residency. When she had it done, they accepted her.
Okay. Huh. Interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Any other
question? Yeah, sure.
I understand that, you know, in Latin America, we're still not managing ethnicity. So I don't know if you may have any statistics on how many blacks, Venezuelans, or indigenous are participating in this course. I'm understanding everybody in Latin America is very mixed.
Is mixed,
but,
exactly,
but
yeah.
For me, it will be very interesting to be able to show some comparison between the schools in Latin America, the medical schools in Latin America, and what is happening in the USA with minority participation.
That's interesting, yeah. I don't think I really can give you, I certainly can't give you any statistics about that, and I don't even know if anybody's compiling them. Middle-class students are not kept from joining the Medicina Integral Comunitaria, but the vast, vast majority are poor and working-class students. But I haven't met any, because I didn't live in a town with any, a village with any middle-class people, but I've in nearby cities I had friends who knew middle-class students who were excited about the new medical education, and they were admitted. I mean, the class structure of Venezuela has a color gradation, but there are wealthy black Venezuelans and mixed-race Venezuelans, but overall they're going to be whiter than the rest of the population. Our village, I think everybody had a very strong indigenous mix, but the indigenous nations of people with their own languages and traditions still intact are pretty small in Venezuela, and usually in remote places. So that our neighbors were proud of their indigenous heritage, and there's some words sprinkled in Spanish that come from that. But I don't think anybody knows what their original nation was, because they had mixed with Spanish, or from escaped slaves from the coast had come up into the mountains. So, for instance, the woman I pointed out, who was in charge of the banking committee, she was one of the people in town who looked like, you know, that looks like an Afro-Venezuelan that you would find in the region called Barlavento, which is really a lot of black people. And they are, more people there are going to identify as Afro-Venezuelan, whereas she probably wouldn't have, even though she might have looked just like them. So it's, I don't know how to solve that, except it seems that, you know, by looking at people, by only outward, you know, racial characteristics you can spot, that there's a very large proportion that are racially mixed, or but there are plenty of poor white people in Venezuela too, or people who appear to be white, but maybe they're mixed race too. You know, it's, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this.
Yes, add to that in the last census that we had like a year ago in Venezuela, for the first time ever, we introduced the possibility that someone defined himself as Afro-descendant. And that's something that has been highly discussed, not only in Venezuela, all over. I mean, especially in Latin America, as you say, that we are mixing is sometimes complicated, but at least the possibility was open for the first time ever in our census program to, if you wanted to define yourself as Afro-descendant. So that might be a start point in order to get some data about that. That is something that most of the Latino countries, I believe that you as a Colombian also suffers a little bit with that. I don't know the experience in Colombia anyway, but I believe that most of the Latino countries have that problem, right?
I mean, it's a big movement now in Latin America, mm-hmm. Self-identification.
So we have been advancing a little bit about that.
At the government level, it's not happening. But actually, for me, as an Afro-descendant, mm-hmm. I'm always, you know, when people question me why I'm so pro-Cuba, I say because it's the part of Latin America where black people have access to education, where I can see black doctors and black professors and black dancers. And
yeah.
So that's kind of my point, you know.
And wherever I have gone in Cuba,
right.
The mix of people, I mean, you can't distinguish who is who at all by, you know, you can't look at a group of people and assume they're from one class or another. Just, mm-hmm. They'll be racially mixed, and which just proves what you're saying, that there may be doctors or there may be whatever.
The access has been. And add to that also is that if you go to Central University in Caracas, to the School of Medicine there, and look for doctors, I want to see only white people. I mean, like 95% or something like 90%. Not even Creole like me or mix, white, Venezuelans, wealthy. And I don't have anything against Jewish people, but also there's a trend, at least in Venezuela, where like an important percentage of the doctors in that particular school of medicine, which is the high ranked in Venezuela, are from Jewish descent.
Jewish.
So, yes, we have to receive a letter from the AGC again.
Yeah, we better watch out.
Yes, no, but I just wanted to tell you that, and if you compare what you can see in Elam, Venezuela, or Elam, Cuba, the photos that you just show, and what you can see when you visit those places, you will realize that there's a phenotype change. I mean, you will see that you will... I mean, in those cases, you will see most mixed Venezuelan, not white Venezuelan.
That brings up something that one time a group of agroecologists came to our little village to have a conference, because the agricultural co-op that started 30 years ago, sees themselves as the predecessors of Chavez, you know, that he came to do the kind of things that we want to do. They were having a conference and talking about university training. Some were talking about access to the new universities and also to the old established ones. And somebody brought up a statistic. I might have, I don't know, remember whether I put it in the book or not. I never saw it written in, I think I did put it in. I never saw the documentation of it, but there, this was a sociologist who said it looks like the number of percentage of working class people that go to the Central University in Caracas at one time was higher, maybe as high as 20%, 25%. So a pretty good chunk in an elite university, which is a public university, and it's pretty much free to go to. But now, through the examination structure and favors that are given, the children of the elite and the middle class are going overwhelmingly. So that percentage of working class had gone down to 4%.
I have to clarify that the Central University of Venezuela is among five very old traditional Venezuelan universities that are autonomous. Autonomous universities, public but autonomous universities, and they receive public funding. Most of the funding is public, but they don't have anything to do with the government. So there's always a lot of friction between those autonomous universities and the government, trying to make them understand that they have been converting themselves in elite universities. Because of the methods of selections, because different reasons. So the government, that's why Steve just said that the government has been trying to introduce some changes in the way those universities select their students in order to reduce that trend that only allows students from rich families to enter the university. So that has been a big discussion in Venezuela. Especially during Chavez government, but even before Chavez, there was a discussion about that.
And a big resistance from the rectors of these universities and other interested parties who don't want to adapt and become less elitist in who they let in. So it's that, of course, is somewhat related to the medical profession as a whole. Something I haven't talked about is there is an ongoing struggle because there's still a capitalist-oriented medical system in Venezuela. They're private clinics that guarantee pretty high incomes for people practicing specialties in middle-class and rich neighborhoods. And the Venezuelan equivalent of the AMA has been vociferous since the first Cubans arrived. I mean, at first they spent years saying these aren't real doctors, they're military people in white jackets, and they're here to indoctrinate people in Castroism and communism. And they could get away with it because the press in Venezuela is 80% owned by rich Venezuelan corporations or families, and they have continued to be mostly, not entirely, in opposition to the government. And so they can... The head of the medical association can keep going and giving interviews and have articles saying, what's his name, Nocero or something, blah, blah, says, okay, these doctors still aren't any good, and the students they're producing in the new medical program are at best going to be like practical nurses. They're going to be like practical nurses. Or worse.
All the initiatives that the government has been implementing in terms of allowing more students to enter and to study medicine. So they keep always. They don't stop doing that.
And that's another... I mean, that was the advantage Cuba had in its revolution happening so suddenly. The United States being immediately antagonistic because it... you know, was losing the tobacco industry and the sugar industry and all the things it took over from the Spanish, a half century before. And so, you know, half the doctors left Cuba and there was only 3,000 doctors left, and they got to rebuild their medical program as a completely government financed and run program, whereas Venezuela is building a new medical care and training doctors at the same time that this old system, old elite system, is in existence. So that's a real struggle. You know, how do you have a revolution and be so democratic that you allow these counter-revolutionary forces to exist? And, you know, there's remarkably little friction among people in the streets and everyday life in Venezuela. It speaks a lot for the personality of Venezuelans that you don't see people arguing and fighting that much in public about, when it's clear that some are,
there are
so Chavistas.
Some peaks, but
yeah,
right,
but
now
not, but
point.
been everyday life, people get on with life, you know, and the opposition has certainly accorded a lot of room and freedom to say and do what they want to do. It's pretty, yeah.
Could you?
Oh, I think he's going.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Comparing the ones who, the students who are being trained by the bios, doctors, and so on, to the autonomous university at the central university. Eventually, they have to take exam and they have to pass licensing procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference? How do they claim that they are inferior? Because everybody has to pass the same exam, right?
Well, that's just about to happen now, but the government also, because the medical association would not cooperate with the new training program, the government had to define that a new kind of medical education was acceptable, because the medical establishment was not going to say that Medicina Integral Comunitaria was a legitimate medical training. So now by law it's enacted that this is legitimate training. Mm-hmm. And what's happening now is the graduates are coming out of MEEK and they're entering into residencies, and not just in barrio adentro traditional places, but also in hospitals where they'll be mixing with the graduates of the university. So I guess, I can't guarantee that one student or the other is going to be better than the other. I guess we'll see how that works out. And
but actually, that situation also has made visible the problem of which, I don't know if the name in English is bar, medical bar, is the legitimate one in Venezuela. So right now, mm-hmm. in Venezuela, there's a big discussion, especially because of the arrival of all these new doctors preparing Cuba and in the Venezuelan LAM, that they don't want to enroll, and they by law right now that they are not forced to enroll in the all elite medical associations. So actually there's a big discussion right now of those doctors trying to create a new gremial organization that.
So that's another discussion, more complex, but that's part of the things that
it
are
is
happening,
kind of,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will take the last two questions from them, and I believe that we should close because of the time, not because I don't enjoy being here.
You want to get back to Venezuela again.
Sí, está bien. Yo quisiera comentar que en el gobierno del Distrito Federal en México, el gobierno de izquierda capitalino ha implementado los comedores populares,
comedores populares,
que son una copia del gobierno venezolano de Chávez.
Sí.
Y cobran 10 pesos, o sea, menos de un dólar, con una comida balanceada. Las dietas las hacen nutriólogos para poder equilibrar el balance vitamínico de la comida.
Ah, qué bien.
Entonces, eso ha sido muy bueno porque la gente que no tiene acceso puede con esa comida, que tratamos de que sea desayuno y comida, pero no se ha podido, bueno, pero básicamente es comida.
Comida.
Entonces, eso, y bueno, hemos tratado también de las medicinas, de los médicos, sean lo más accesibles y gratuitas en el Distrito Federal. Solo, desgraciadamente, no podemos, porque
Solo el Distrito Federal.
Pero solo el Distrito Federal. Es donde hemos
por el alcalde como...
Primero fue Andrés Manuel López Obrador,
sí, sí.
Y lo continuó Marcelo Ebrard, y ahora está, bueno, el Mancera, que también sigue siendo izquierda.
Okay, bueno. Okay, for those that don't speak Spanish, she's saying that Mexico City has devised the equivalent of community kitchens in Venezuela. And you were saying they were inspired by the Venezuelans in part to do this, and because there was a strong left-leaning government under the mayors of Mexico City that was able to be implemented, and the diet was well-balanced, and it was... You had to pay, but it was extremely cheap, right? It was muy barato.
Sí, menos de un dólar.
Less than a dollar. So that's kind of nice that the ideas are spreading around, mm-hmm. even where the national government is not so good from a progressive point of view. Still, in the city governments, this can be done. And, this is one of the big accomplishments of ALBA and all of what's happening in Latin America, is this freedom to experiment and do things that the U.S. Would not approve of, or the conservative parties in Mexico would not approve of. But
that's what
ahead.
Bad influence means.
Yes,
that's the threat.
Yeah, that's the threat. No, that's the real threat.
The alternative model that shows there's another way, that another way is possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That's why every independent country, every democracy is attacked by the United States, because a model that could lead other countries to see their own capabilities to break from the American system of imperialism, that's the threat that has been destroyed repeatedly for the last several hundred years.
Sure. And this, all these countries are still under major threat. I mean, this is very impressive, but, this country and its allies, they will try again to destroy in one way or another, or undermine these experiments. And in writing the book and talking about it, and that's one of the major things I can do in this country, is at least make people aware that some very good things are happening in Latin America, Venezuela and Cuba and other countries, because otherwise most people never hear any of it. And so I feel that that's what all of us can do, even those who think there's some shortcomings that they're not happy with in any of these countries, to think, wow, on the whole, some really good things are happening, some, experiments and new ways of forming democracy, forming everyday life are happening, and we ought to support that.
We don't have the Spanish version of this.
Version is Polish, just being printed now in Cuba. Okay. That was the cover I showed, the blue cover.
When?
It's being printed right now. I've
been in Cuba next week, next month. So maybe.
Now, I don't... The place to go to get the first copies would be Centro Pablo de la Torriente Brau, which is a cultural center. It's in Havana, downtown. It's de la Torriente Brau. Pablo de la Torriente Brau was a Cuban journalist who fought in the Spanish Civil War, a great writer. And the center is devoted to him, and they decided to be the ones who took this ahead and got it published in Cuba.
Yeah.
So look for it. I hope they'll have it, and you can ask for it. It's right in Old Havana. You could ask for. You can find Centro Pablo online, and there's many good things they do, like supporting the trovadores and many cultural things that are great. So, yeah.
If I did not mishear you, you said that bulk of the Venezuelan doctors started moving to Venezuela in the 97-98 time frame?
No. 2003, the first doctors arrived.
Why did it take so long from Chavez's election in 89? Or is it 90?
He was...
Yes,
he took office in 99. There was just a lot to be done to consolidate things. There was a lot of internal opposition. There was the attempted coup, of course, but there also was the managerial strike in the oil industry which ruined the economy for an entire year.
I have to add that the first 2 years of Chavez's government were dedicated to his main electoral promises during his first term, which was the drawing up new constitution. So basically, 99 was a year of drawing and voting for the new constitution. And then between 2000 and 2001 was the drawing of the new laws that connect with the new constitution. So there was a lot of structural framework work during those 2 years. And those are the triggers for the coup d'etat in late 2001, but materialized in April 2002 and keep us very busy, especially between 2002 and 2003. And then in 2003 is when finally, after a lot of time of discussing this agreement with Cuba, we managed to receive the first Cuban doctors that they live in the sit downs all over, especially in Caracas at the beginning, as Steve just mentioned. So it was kind of complicated.
Yeah.
But there was a lag, and we have to admit it.
Yeah.
Thank you all for.